basically asked for this work session for a couple reasons. One is to make sure I'm clear in my mind what the advocacy staff has said they agree with, but then also to walk through with my colleagues. This is one of those cases that actually precedes my time in the commission, but I've been involved in many of the later decisions, so it's a very complex case that continues to move forward, but I always want to make sure I'm always making the right decisions, obviously, as we get through the impacts of some of the decisions we made in the rate case, the settlement agreement, and some of the prudence discussions. So that's kind of my setup, I guess, before I would turn it over to, I guess, Randy or Julie, if you had any opening comments, and then we'll get going. So I guess whoever's first.
I don't have any opening comments.
Okay. I have nothing to add either for now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let me just kind of pontificate here for a minute, and Jerry and Lana and Pat jump in if I go off course here a little bit. The way I'm understanding this is that we had the, Big Stone 2 came in way back when it requested advanced termination of prudence for, to build Big Stone 2 down in South Dakota. The commission at that time approved the case. Somewhere along the line, the Otter Tail Power lost many of its colleagues, if you will. They decided to not move forward on that. The commission came back through and basically had to go through and kind of back out of that, if you will. But there was numerous costs associated with some of the work that Otter Tail had already done. And that really led to a series of discussions with myself and members of the companies, other people, that really tightened up the when we get involved of the cutting off, when is a project, the advanced termination of prudence as far as the cost collection. Is that, help me out here a little bit, staff, on the, what I'm looking for is we used to let them collect costs from a very gray area of time. And based on this case, we've really done a better job, I think, as a commission, is defining when they can collect the cost and when they can go forward. Anybody help me out in that a little bit? This is a big issue, I think, going forward.
There was a settlement in this proceeding, and the staff had established, the commission, in accepting this stipulation, had established a 3-year time period to collect the initial costs of planning for Big Stone, and that time period is coming to an end. That 3-year time period. In this settlement, there was a provision. For the Big Stone 2, the generating costs, and there was also provision for the transmission costs. But there was a special provision for transmission that they were supposed to come back to the commission when they finally determined the amount on the transmission costs. And
that's kind of where we're at
today. They have finally determined the transmission cost.
But now, so that's the jump-off point for the work session, but I was kind of going through the background of one of the things that I've struggled with, and I think I continue to struggle with on ADPs, is companies come in and they say they want advanced termination of prudence. And until this case, I think it was probably the first time where a company had never built what they said they were going to build. And there was a lot of discussion about when they could start, what cost they could recover on the development cost of all the work they put into this, when the start date, when it started, when it ended, and I had a lot of concern that companies were, the company in this case was putting more cost that maybe they should have in this case originally, and we worked through that, and I think I feel comfortable, obviously wouldn't have voted on it, but it really leaves the open-ended question of, if we have an ADP that we give, say this is a prudent project, and we really tried to set the jump-off point of, okay, this is the point where you're going to complete the project, and then cost going forward from that point, we may consider prudent as we get into the rate case. We've kind of really tried to decide in our decisions when we issue the prudence of what is that point of when they make commitment. And that was one of the things in this case that wasn't done, but I think we learned a lot from that.
So. Well, this was the first ADP, I believe, and it was definitely the first contested hearing ADP. And so it was all breaking new ground because the statute allows them to recover their costs. If you grant ADP and then it for some reason doesn't get built.
But the statute doesn't say exactly when.
Right. But if you didn't have ADP at all and you were just dealing with this later at a rate case and they said, we were planning to build Big Stone and it was a really good idea and da-da-da-da, and then this happened that was no fault of our own, and they were asking to recover, you'd have that benefit of hindsight, and you would be figuring all that out in the rate case. Okay, so if with ADP, you're expected, everyone is expected, you know, to be able to think through this before it happens instead of have the benefit of hindsight. But the rest of what you said was correct. I was just trying to put it in the bigger perspective of what would happen if you didn't have ADP. So I believe what I'm recalling is that there was, not only was there a settlement, but then there was subject to a notice after. I mean, it was like, this is what we think we're going to do, subject to anything coming in, and we published a notice. I vaguely recall that, but I don't remember if it was before or after the settlement. I don't know. I'd have to go back and check. But, you know, if we have a new component, that's the first thought that comes to my mind is new notice.
Well, I just wanted to lay all that background out there just to kind of my colleagues, quite honestly, and make sure I was remembering this correctly. But for the point of today's work session, I think Pat set it up beautifully, that we weren't exactly sure at the time of the decision of the settlement agreement if there was going to be future transmission projects that we could allocate costs to on this case. And so advocacy staff, which is, you know, we're losing the mic here. Here. I'll grab one of these. Got it. Never mind.
Here.
We're good. Share. Thank you. Advocacy staff has put together a memo, and that's one of the things that gets a little confusing, too, over time, is that oftentimes we get memos from staff that are just, their memo recommendation is just a staff person. In this case, Sarah has a recommendation as advocacy staff, and I didn't just want to say, okay, that's it, without talking to all of you, especially our transmission guru, because when I read through the memo, it made sense to me that they had done their due diligence. I don't know, Jerry, of any transmission projects that we could allocate these costs to, but I wanted to double check with you because I know you're much closer to the planning process than I am.
And Brian did ask me about this, and so I thought what I would do is just show what the transmission is involved in this project. In the settlement, what they agreed to was there was a cost in the settlement that was set aside. So they have numbers here, and then there were going to be carrying costs on those added to that. And then there would be a decision made after 3 years as to whether they would have another way to charge these costs to some kind of, if these things do get built, they'd be able to charge them directly to those projects that got built. Otherwise, the idea was to carry these costs and then make a decision on them now. And it was the settlement says it was $2.6 million in transmission costs, of which $1.05 was North Dakota's jurisdictional share. It also allowed the recovery of a carrying charge in the form of AFUDC. That added to that, and in this case, there was an amendment to the filing that added those charges into it after they first, you might remember, a second filing about a week or so later. So those are on there too, and basically what their proposal is, as outlined in Sarah's memo, is to recover those transmission costs now to continue the rider that was established to recover the original costs. And it would continue for, I believe it's an eight-month period, and that would pretty much balance it out. There would be whatever's left over would have to be dealt with at that time. But
so, Jerry, so I understand this correctly. This would be an additional cost to what the customers are already paying back, or this would be an extension of what they're paying for 8 months?
It would be the existing surcharge on the rates extended for 8 months.
Okay.
And that would cover the transmission investment that they weren't sure if they were going to build the lines or not.
Okay.
And let me give you this.
So there'd be no increase of cost to the customers, just, well, there would be for the 8 month period, but.
Yeah, the customers won't see a change until after the rider expires, in which case they'll.
Thanks,
Tom.
So this is kind of a little crude drawing by hand thing here, but back when this was approved, there was to be a big stone, the existing big stone plant sub is there, and then there was supposed to be another sub added called Big Stone South. And it turned out when the project goes away, they're going to keep Big Stone South, and it is now going to be used to tie the Ellendale line into it. And that's the line comes from Ellendale to Big Stone, and then it, these are MVP lines, and it goes from Big Stone to Brookings, and then Brookings to the Twin Cities. So this is all part of that big project. So that sub will stay. They had permitted in Minnesota with site permits the Big Stone to Morris line, which was, I think, was an upgrade of an existing line from 115. Yeah, it was a 115 kV line. It was to be upgraded to 230. And then from the Big Stone to Granite Falls line was to be a 345 kV line that they would initially operate at 230 kVs.
And that one's been scrapped for good, Jerry, if you will?
Well, the permits on both of those now have expired in Minnesota. The studies that they're doing now on in MISO, and you saw some of them in here on the Northern Area studies, talk about these lines possibly being built at some time in the future. But at this point, there's no definite plans to. You know, we saw that the cost-benefit ratios on those projects were probably at best even on the Northern Area, and whether or not it goes here or it goes over in the Duluth area, if it goes at all, this is the lines coming from Manitoba, affect that. There are other things that affect growth in the area and such that somewhere down the line, maybe these lines will be built. But the Granite Falls to Big Stone line now, when that was first proposed, we didn't have the MVP line from Big Stone to Brookings. Now we do. And if you look on this line, the first part of that line coming out of Big Stone South going to Brookings is solid. That line is going to be built with poles for a double circuit configuration. And the plan is to build this Granite Falls to Big Stone line, and sometime off in the future, we don't know when now, but these poles will accommodate it so they don't have to tie in at Big Stone South anymore with it. They can just tie in at a midpoint here in the on the Big Stone to Brookings line. And that does mean that they'll have to permit something different in Minnesota, so their existing permitting and stuff on this line is gone.
So, Jerry, that becomes like the jump-off point for one of the questions we talked about was the okay, so the way I understand is if we allow this to continue, they collect all their transmission planning costs, and project never is built, easy, it's understood. If they collect the transmission costs now, and at some point in time the line does get built and there's a cost to North Dakota, how do we put that back together then at that time?
Because well,
I suppose the planning stuff is never is outdated.
They did pull the costs that they could justify from this Big Stone Granite Falls line out of this package.
Okay.
And they're going to assign that to the Big Stones Brookings line project just for that per section there, a proportion of environmental studies and permitting expenses and things like that.
So does that become a point where, I know you know this just because you're involved in the planning process, but for illegal, is that something that we should get from Otter Tail that says what reaffirms what we believe is happening, so at some future case they don't try to say that it would be different? I mean, do you understand my question?
Yes, sort of. I mean, I don't understand all of the facts memorized, but yes, we should have more specificity not less. I mean, it's kind of just like when you're going back to the Big Stone Order, the settlement, and trying to figure out, does this qualify?
Right.
The more you say and the more specific, the better.
They did.
So is this in the environmental filing or in this?
They did talk about a portion of the line of those costs being removed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
They did mention that. They haven't told you the rest of the, at least I didn't see it in the record, all of the story about what happened and how this has evolved and where we've gotten to where we're at.
And that was why we gave the 3 years, because there was no way to predict what was going to happen 3 years ago when we did this.
Yeah, we just knew that these things were going on back then, and what I've given you now is kind of an update on what's happened down there. I think that if you wanted to do some kind of a request for further information or something from the parties, that we could get something in the record that way from them.
Are you thinking just more, because they say, you know, they've assigned 31% of the cost to the Big Stone, to the Big Stone Brookings MVP project? Are you thinking you want, like, specifics on what's included in that 31%?
I'm thinking of making sure that we have as much detail in there that says that if at some point in time another line is built, that we don't double bill the customers for planning stuff they've already done. And so if this is enough in there that we would agree we've done that, then we're good. If there's something that we could add into there after we maybe think about it a little bit, and then maybe that what Jerry's saying is valid. Because mm-hmm. that's why I wanted to have this work session, is because we could have just said, yeah, but it looks good and move on. But it just, this is such a big case for so many other reasons, especially I see down the road. So I don't know if that answers your question, Julie. I mean, maybe I guess after the two of you would get a chance to look through it after the work session, and maybe even staff gets a chance to look through it again after the work session, that we, if we think we're comfortable that we've shielded the customer for getting double billed for future transmission, okay. If there's something that we would want to supplement, we could ask for it. Or if the company voluntarily wants to add some more information, they're probably listening. They could sure do that.
My question with all of this is, it feels to me like we are implementing what's already been decided. And I mean, are we not just following through on what we agreed to follow through, what we said they could do?
I would agree with that, because we didn't know exactly what, you know, if there would have been a transmission line built in this 3-year period, then they could have assigned more costs to that transmission line.
Right.
So we are doing with what we agreed to do 3 years ago in the settlement agreement, but I'm not sure that all the questions have been answered in this three-year period, I think, is part of my struggle right now.
On which costs, you know, we can still look at the costs and tear them down and say we agree with this and don't agree with that.
I agree that it's not the cost the way we know it now. It's that in the future, if these transmission lines are built, that some of the costs that they've already spent mm-hmm. in their planning, they're able to use, so they don't have to do it again. But then the question would be, maybe the information has changed so much that none of the things they do now can apply to a project 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
The projects right now, you know, they don't have anything else to charge it to. But, you know, like I said, in some years down the road, something might. But in the meantime, just in my mind, the idea of carrying costs building on the thing doesn't really make it seem like a good idea to keep carrying the costs on it.
So your thought would be that we have this discussion now. We, quite honestly, would approve the way it's filed. And then if we get back into a future transmission case, then we could come back into this and look and see how it all laid out.
We could have the discussion at that time. But those costs would be paid for then.
But the carrying cost, I'd forgotten about that, because that would be a fee that would continue, where we could button that up now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to make a comment back on Commissioner Fedorchak's comment. If going with what is quoted from the settlement agreement in the memo, because I did not pull the whole thing at this point, first of all, there's always a lot of detail in settlement agreements. And then the commission usually, rather than repeating it all, says something like, we adopt the settlement agreement, and then you do, and then it's attached to the orders, and then you have to go read it to see what you really said or what you really approved as an order. But there's three phrases in this paragraph that would say to me, you didn't agree that the cost should be incorporated. You agreed that the question could come back to you. Mm-hmm. Otter Tail may petition the commission. Ask, okay? We've had a lot of settlements where it said, okay, in 3 years we're going to put these costs in, and you've decided it in that first time and it just happens. Then you have, that's when you have a motion that says, yeah, okay, the costs came in. They're what they said they were going to be.
Yep.
Implement them. So the May petition, and then Otter Tail has the burden of proof in any such proceeding, maybe four phrases, proceeding, to show that there is good cause. So in my mind, you do have to make a sort of a decision. There's a lot of factual buzzwords in there, meaning notice. And your order just said this. So you need to do something to make your Big Stone order say, these are the costs that we're going to allow now for 8 months. And so I'm thinking you need a notice, and so I'm thinking you have a little time for the company to present the rest of its explanation if it chooses to or if you ask for it. But in addition, I was a little confused about how this all coordinates with that environmental cost recovery rider, because that's pending, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it done? No, it's pending, I think. So there's a little, I don't know how it all overlaps or not.
But. Isn't there an adjustment to that one that we're looking at as well? The environmental cost recovery rider is going down because their costs decreased by, I don't know, $60 million or something like that.
I'm back to the notice issue, not to question.
I know. I don't know. It's just,
we have a surcharge in place on the records. We're not changing nothing. So just my thought.
Well, but we said 3 years. And then they can petition to continue, or so I don't know. If we're at the 3 years, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Well, no, but it's a good question, because when do these rate cases ever stop? I mean, that's mm-hmm. where it's, what's the, I mean, if you do the notice, the company has made a proposal, we have a notice, somebody wants a formal hearing, they could request it. If they don't, then we make a decision.
So if we were to accept their case today, as we have it, not like in this work session, but we would basically saying that they have shown that there's good cause to continue reflecting the cost of CWIP, right? We'd be accepting that.
And in
justifying that, it sounds to me like staff is saying, we told them we'd wait for 3 years, see how all these transmission projects carried out, what we can, when we can't allocate to some existing transmission project, and then in the end we'd look at what we, whether we should recover the rest in this means or a different means or not at all, or was not at all ever part of the question.
I don't think that was.
That's what I don't. That's well, where I don't. You know that that's part of the.
To me, it's part of the question reading this, but there's other interpretations.
Well, I would view not at all as that was the point of when they ADP, they didn't build the project. The point was you didn't build it, then why should you get any costs? But then that was the whole backdrop of them pulling out of this. And so I guess I never viewed that not collecting, they were allowed some money, but it was always a question of how much. And that's where having this discussion today is, we could get into the cost and some of the transmission if we think it's too much.
The place they would come in is rate case. The not at all meaning under this, you're going to get this stuff based on an ADP.
Mm.
I guess I don't mean not at all ever. I mean not at all in this proceeding.
ADP.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Can somebody on staff go through what they provided as justification for these costs in their memo? And if you don't want to do it here, then maybe somebody can just walk through that with me separately. But,
that's what gets a little slippery, because this is not the normal staff breakup. The memo was from advocacy staff, not from commission advisor staff.
Yeah.
So the place to go through that would be an informal.
Well, it gets a little more complicated in that in the settlement there was a number.
Right.
And the commission approved the settlement. And so, I mean, to the point that, not saying you can go back and say, well, wait a minute, there was a mistake in that settlement, but it looks like, you know, we've already at one point looked at these numbers.
Well, I think that was the point, though, Jerry.
Well, that's this one. 1.8 million costs subject of settlement agreement. Transmission only 1.8 million.
Unless they could take that number and assign it to a different project. And if they can't, then I would agree that that's the number that you've agreed to.
And that's what that's basically what they're saying, right?
They're saying they have assigned some of the costs to other projects.
And here's what's
so
left.
The question is that assignment correct, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good way to phrase it. And so if we were to look at it, as Pat said, we could look at how much they assigned to the other projects and see if we agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we would do a request to the parties for more information on that.
We just supplement the record to show.
Yeah, we come up with something to ask them.
Right. And after that's done, I mean, advocacy staff would take a look at that, and when they've done the analysis, they would decide whether they agreed or not, and then the commission could still, you know, they could accept that and go forward, or you could still have a some kind of a hearing on it, some factual fact-finding.
Have you guys analyzed the 31% to agree, to know whether you agree with that or not?
We've just taken just what we've got here and just what I told you, what they're doing here. So I don't have any way to tie numbers to exactly how they come up with that.
Jerry asked me that, and I said, let's just hang tight till after the work session to see where the commission's at before it just made better sense for us to have this meeting and then see where we're going to. But that would be I think in my mind, that'd be a good way to just to quote-unquote double-check and do, you know, not that we don't agree with advocacy staff because they haven't shown us any reason to not agree with them. But it would be our own review just like it would be in a rate case, but then when this is all said and done, I guess my goal is that if we, whatever we come up with in this thing, at the end of 8 months, are we done with Big Stone 2?
Yep, that would be the...
That would be the ultimate goal I'm trying to get to, is to get Big Stone 2 done and then learn from this going forward.
Yeah. That would be the result of what's, if you just continue the charges for the 8 months here.
Okay, so how long you think it takes to put that together? The company, you'd send them something, a little more detail of how they assign their cost. You'd look through it, have a recommendation.
We'd have to prepare something for you to send from the commission if I'm following this procedure right, and I'm going to be out for a little while here, but maybe we could bring it back like admin or something.
Are we publishing a notice, which would be my advice? I think it's,
well, if there's no doubt, if we're going through a back and forth of exchange of information, why would we not do a notice?
Right.
It seemed like we're already going to take that time anyway, unless Julie or Andy have a different thought. I mean, if we were to make a decision next week, we'd maybe have more discussion about the notice, but we're already going to have at least 30 days, I would think, of the back and forth. So we could notice this for 60 days or something, or whatever the time frame is.
Well, and if you want it to be, is it July?
August.
Is there a deadline here?
Isn't it August?
July 1, August.
We could produce a notice and get it out quickly with a special meeting, but then that would be sort of the same time frame for the response. If we kind of knew when the end of that was, or if you scheduled an informal, then I think that might be the time frame for staffs producing the analysis.
These type of notices have to be published in the paper, or are these just...
Yeah.
And what papers would this be in? All the...
Oh, Pat's got those memorized.
Okay, that's all right.
All the dailies in the areas that are served by Otter Tail. So we have, you know, like Grand Forks, Fargo, Devil's Lake, Jamestown, Rugby. No, Rugby, that's not a daily, is it?
No, it's a weekly, you're right.
Yeah, Wahpeton, Bismarck.
So maybe. We're noticing because we're looking at it, and we want to see if anybody else has anything to offer?
I think we're noticing because of the language and I think the order is changing slightly, or it could change slightly, and... We're getting evidence. I mean, it's just red flags all over the place. We're asking for staff evidence, company evidence on whether or not How much did they allocate? Did they, those kinds of decisions by the commission, those factual decisions, need a notice?
Okay. In their customer notice, they said the request applies to bills on and after August 1st, subject to review and approval by the PSC.
I'm thinking we need to be done by the end of June then, because, I mean, July is, I think, when they're implementing this, and August 1st mm-hmm. would be the actual get it to the customer. But it could be done that quickly, I think.
Well, I don't think we're – I mean, it's just a matter of get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Today is May 20-something today, so, I mean, we could have a special meeting today at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Or whatever time it is. All right, so two things. One is get the notice. We could do that very quickly, I'm guessing. And then two is get some type of memo from advisory staff to the company asking for more detail on their cost allocation of their transmission projects.
So if we do the notice on next agenda, is that soon enough?
Not if you want to have it by the end of June.
Well, it's up to you guys. I don't care.
Well, today we've got a 2 o'clock telephone exchange mapping system. Or, I mean, we could do it right before that, if that's time to do the notice. Or we could do it right afterwards, either way, if that works for me and Julie.
Do we know the issues?
The issues are going to be very general, and it's going to be whether
as long as we don't have a problem putting together
shown good cause to do whatever they want to do here.
Yeah, as long as we don't have a problem putting the issues together.
We're not putting specific issues in. We never do, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, we'll be okay, I think.
And
all right, so legal advice is you can pull this off, but the needle
yes.
thing?
If we can't pull it off, Pat and I, by noon, we'll let you know.
Okay.
At this meeting.
Would you prefer to do it at my colleagues 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock? Does that work? Is there a difference?
I mean, if 2 o'clock works, let's do it at 2.
Okay. Randy, Pat? Does that work for you?
Is that going to work, you think?
Yeah.
I think so.
We'll let you know by noon for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Then this is going to be done at before the ITD consultant meeting
yeah.
or after it?
Right before.
Yeah.
So maybe even put it at 1:45. Do it at 1:45. We'll gavel in. We'll have the one motion to notice it. Close it out. Be done. Then we'll go into the ITD meeting. Okay.
And then, so I understand what we're doing. We're gathering information. You're going to report back in an informal hearing on what you find, or are we just going to have another work session?
I think we're just doing a notice of opportunity.
Yeah.
But
unless
you're gathering information.
Informal specifically in there, we'll put that in too. I mean, if you want it. If you want it, time to talk to both sides, then we can put it in.
I was thinking the language, great question Julie had. I was thinking the language that said that if you want a formal hearing requested by this
yeah.
date,
yeah.
the commission may decide this with or without yeah. an informal.
Definitely do that. But I
yeah.
said if you know you want an informal, we'll put that in too. But
I can't
know,
say that for me.
Okay.
I mean, if they come back and they... If they come back with a set of answers and you guys look through it, it looks good,
okay.
then I think I would be comfortable to vote on it. If we're not, then we may go back to a full-blown formal hearing.
Yeah. I meant notice of opportunity,
yeah.
the standard
okay.
opportunity.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. An informal hearing would give us a chance to talk with the company.
So if we
right.
want an informal
yes.
hearing later, we can do that?
You can.
Yeah.
But it's nice if you know you want one to put it in there because other people then know too. But
right. And, yeah, we could
do you want
to
do an informal? Do you want to schedule it to talk through it?
I'm comfortable waiting and seeing what
okay.
we hear.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Randy?
Hi. Same.
Okay. All right. Very heady subject first thing in the morning, huh? All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Randy?
Ready to go.
Jerry, Lana, Patrick?
I'm going to miss the informal or the meeting this afternoon.
That's okay. That'll just okay. be it. We can handle that one, Jerry. All right. Well, thank you all. With that, we'll close the work session on case numbers PU09739 and PU1030. Thank you.
Oh.
This is the kind of stuff you're not to give the commission.
No, that's just a advisory
it's
picture.
It's facts.
That's just an advisory picture.
Hi.
Hey, Alana, give me my page back.